KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
Pardon the interruption, everybody. I will bring you now into the borough meeting.
Here. Jim.
Here.
Brian.
Here.
Josie. Paul.
Yes.
Brenda. Tom.
Yes.
Samantha said she will be late. We have Paul.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a quorum, and in the people office, who's president? Present?
I'll be the president. Okay. In the King Cove office, Mayor Osterweck, we have Stuart Brandle, myself, Carter Utek, and Mary Mae Brandle.
Okay. In Cold Bay? Councilor Bloom? False Pass. Sandpoint.
In Sandpoint, we have Mayor Osterbaum, Paul Garnhol, Jay Smith, and myself.
Architect. Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor Osterbaum, there's myself, Annie, Glenora, Charlotte, Ernie, Amber, and Tom's here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we need a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
This is Chris. I make a motion we adopt the agenda as presented.
Thank you. Second?
Second, Ward.
Thank you. Okay, so are there any corrections to the agenda? Okay, hearing none. There's no objections on the agenda stand as written. Any public comments at this time on the agenda? Anyone feel they have a conflict of interest on any agenda items? Okay, we need a motion and a second to bring the minutes of April 10th. Floor.
So move, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Hello, this is Brenda. Here.
Are you seconding this, Brenda?
Yes.
Seconding it.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, does anybody have any comments on the agenda? I mean, on the minutes? We'll call the roll call on minutes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Financials. Financial. The finance director's report, please.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I have a small update on the audit. We finally received an answer from the Corps of Engineers on the ownership, and basically their answer was it's not clear who owns it. It's just implied by legal documents with a clear, this is yours and this is ours. So the auditors have decided to go with some special GASB accounting rules where we go by who maintains ownership, and that is very clear in the partnership agreement. So we've got good direction on where we're going in that. The auditors are wrapping up some last-minute things, and hopefully we should be having the financial statements soon. I haven't got a deadline or approximate timeline from them yet, but I've asked, and I know they've asked me for a few little items just to resample and or look at things in the last week. The last month's been pretty busy with the preparing the budget documents that we're going to be going over today in this meeting. That's been a lot of extra challenges there with what we're looking at for the budget and the deficit, so we've been pretty busy on that. Also finished all the quarterly reports for the payroll and for all of the grant documents. And I'm starting to scan the older grant documents into the Laserfish so that it's easier to look back and find information, which is going to be kind of nice rather than looking through boxes and old papers. The routine tasks are operating smoothly, and we're just waiting on the receivable data for the April financial statements. If there's any questions, just let me know.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Paul?
Yeah, at the end of the audit, you mentioned you're waiting to hear back from the auditors. This was just one item, so I kind of expected once you got the item, the audit would be released the next day. But did they indicate when they expect it to be released?
Once they receive the financials, they have to run their financials through their testing team. Like, the financials are prepared, and then they have to be reviewed within their office to make sure that everything looks good based on what we've given them. So it was the financial data that was going to be handed over to them as soon as we got that ownership issue, but they still have to run the whole entire financial statements through their test.
Okay, soon, is that, I'm interpreting that loosely, pretty soon, is that what you said?
I hope so. I've been asking every day for timelines and when it's going to be, because I've been bugging them as much as humanly possible, because I wish this would have been done already, because I'm starting to try to figure out how to start prepping for this year's audit. We're coming up pretty close to the end of the year, and I can't do a whole lot without making sure my figures match last year's audit.
Thank you. Other comments or questions for Jackie? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Okay, we need a motion and a second to bring the financials of March 2025 to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Second.
Yes.
Chris.
That was Tom.
Oh, Tom. Tom. Sorry.
Alrighty. So, Annie, you want to go through these?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. In the packet are the March 2025 financials. Really, I'm only going to point out two items on the first page. One is the raw fish tax. In March of 25, we received $290,248 in fish tax, which is about 65% of the five-year average or 59% of the 10-year average. So we're staying pretty steady every month, coming in lower than what we used to get. The other one is the interest revenue that's still coming in really strong. This is pre that huge payment from the Akutan Harbor coming out, so it should start probably reducing after this. As far as expenditures go, everything's tracking along. We're 66.6% into the budget year, and everything seems to be tracking. The ones that are high are just because certain items like contract payments and stuff have been paid. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie? Paul?
Hey, I just have one short one. I keep forgetting acronyms like 10 minutes after they're repeated. So this big budget item that wasn't our budget, the LACCF. Tell us what that acronym is again. Please tell me anyway.
Yeah, Local Assistance Tribal Consistency Funds. So that was a federal funding source that we applied to the budget last year to cover our deficit.
Or Biden money, in other words. Is that a good way to say that?
What was that?
Biden money. We could say it was Biden money?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, we do. And then just to follow up on that, looking at the item, we didn't get any more. We got a year before, but this last year we didn't get much. Is that how you would interpret that, or how would you say that? Because it's a big amount.
Yeah, no, we didn't receive any more federal funding. So from that funding source, basically from COVID, where all this money stemmed from, we received CARES Act funds. We got this SLRF money, which is that one, I can't remember. And then the LATCF funds. So we received three funding sources, basically from COVID monies, and this was the last of it, was the LATCF funds.
Thank you.
Other questions?
I have a question, Your Honor. This is our Mayor Osterbach. This is Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
So, Annie, is there a way that you could tell, maybe not in this meeting, where we were last year with the raw fish versus this year? I mean, I know Peter Pan's been closed down for longer than that. I'm just kind of curious to see how far this is dropping. You know, you said it keeps going down, and I was just curious to see what it was maybe last year or even the previous year.
Yeah, we can get those for the next meeting if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Warren here. on the interest income, you were mentioning the payment to Akaten. Was there a payment from the False Pass Boat Harbor also that was like due or something?
Yeah, we paid that, I believe, over a year ago. So that was for the second portion or second 10% portion for the False Pass Harbor, but that wasn't paid this fiscal year.
Okay, that was last year then, last fiscal year.
I think so, yeah.
And then the new one was for Akaten, you say? How much was that one?
That was about $2.4 million.
Okay, thank you. I don't know how that false pass is, but I remember talking about that there. False pass payment also. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, and Jackie, was that 2.4 or 3.2? I can't remember.
It was 3.2.
Sorry, 3.2. I'm getting my numbers mixed up. It was 3.2 that we paid for that.
Other questions? Comments? Hearing none? Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Crazy kid.
I heard it.
Hearing on the motion on the
part. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Welcome, kids.
Okay, thank you. In your packet, you have the investment report for you to look at. We don't have anything on consent agenda. We don't have any public hearings. The agenda is Ordinance 2504, adopting the operating and capital budget for fiscal year 2026. So we need a motion to adopt the schedule for a public hearing on May 22nd.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
This is Chris. I'll second it.
Thank you, Chris. Annie, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, so I'm actually really excited to present this to you. This was a lot of work, as Jackie mentioned, and I really, really want to thank Jackie and Alvin, Mayor Osterbach, for going through this process, because it does take a really, really long time. So in the packet are a couple documents. The first one is the agenda statement. The second document is a CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index that shows the Consumer Price Index for urban Alaska, which is Anchorage in the Matsu area. Then there's the education document, which is a letter from Superintendent Franklin. There's permanent fund earning information, the ordinance itself, and then the budget, which is shown in PDF format. It's an Excel spreadsheet. So there's those documents before you. So I'll be basically focusing on the agenda statement, which Glenora is sharing on the screen, and going through this kind of at a high level. If you guys do have any questions at any time, please stop and ask. So, as Mayor Osterbach noted, Ordinance 2504 outlines the borough's operating and capital budget for fiscal year 2026. This will be introduced today, and if you guys approve it, we'd like to have the second hearing on May 22nd. We did an in-depth review of the borough's anticipated revenues and expenditures and is recommending a pretty conservative budget for FY26. First, I'd like to go over, or you guys could read, the state of Alaska situation that we're in. Mark Hickey and AML provides quite detailed information, and if you scroll down to where it says on April 16th, the House did pass their operating budget. It did include full funding for school and harbor bond debt. It had education funding, it had community assistance funding, funded at the full amount that they were asking for, raw fish tax, and other things as well in that budget. On the next page, the Senate then proposed their budget, and literally, right, I had the budget all done, and then this came out, and then the Senate has proposed to reduce the school bond debt reimbursement by 25%, which impacts us at about $179,000. So there was another hole that needed to be filled. I spoke or corresponded with Mark Hickey yesterday, and on May 7th, the Senate did pass its version of the operating budget. There were no changes. That everything that's on those bullet points there remained as is. And their next step now is to have a conference with the House. And so that's kind of where we're at. So in the budget, you will see that I propose reducing the school bond debt reimbursement by 25% since that's passed this level. And then Mark said that they do expect more reductions since this version still results in a deficit of between $70 million and $140 million at the state level. So there may still be some changes until they pass their budget. Any questions on that? Okay, hearing none. So fisheries. Every year, Ernie provides me a very in-depth review of the fisheries. Last year, for FY25, or this current fiscal year, we anticipated $1.6 million in revenue. We have exceeded that slightly. But after looking at recent fishery trends, available fish forecasts, prices, quotas, harvest numbers, environmental uncertainties, and potential fishery management actions, we have decided to propose to you to keep the fish tax revenue for FY26 at $1.6 million. Don't think we need to decrease it. I do not feel comfortable increasing it, though. So it would be $1.6 million that's being proposed in the budget. Any questions on that? Okay. So all the departments have reviewed their budgets. We had meetings with each individual department. Due to budgetary constraints, the borough needed to downsize, and the assistant administrator position has been removed in the FY26 budget. We had to make a cut, and so that position has been removed. The FY26 proposed budget reflects a 2.2% cost of living adjustment, which is what's reflected in the document in this packet, as shown for urban Alaska. And according to our handbook, the Borough Assembly may, at its discretion, authorize annual cost of living adjustments for regular employees in an amount not to exceed the consumer price index for urban Alaska as computed for the preceding fiscal year. So administration is recommending a 2.2% increase, which would increase the salaries by about $16,300. And if you would like to change that, an amendment would need to be made. A few other changes that I will show in more depth on the PDF Excel spreadsheet document is in prior budgets, we included fringe benefits, which included Medicare, ESC, which is unemployment tax, PERS, defined comp, and medical insurance costs, all lumped into one line item.
Annie?
Yes.
Could you just perhaps, the screen is nice, but it's too small. Could somebody zoom that in a little bit? Could that, to make sure we're following you at the same place? Thank you. That helps. Good job. Whoever did that, good job.
Yes. So as I was saying, all the fringe benefits were lumped into one line item. We have decided to break that out, so it's a little easier for us to follow as well as for you to follow. So now there will be a health insurance line item for healthcare, and then a retirement line item, and then there's fringe benefits. That includes the Medicare, the ESC, and things like that broken out by each department. So with that, the health insurance, just to highlight that, I still have not received any rates. We have been kicked out of our grandfathered plan, so I just assumed a 20% increase for now. I've been in correspondence with our health insurance broker almost every day asking for the information. So I just assumed a 20% increase. Once those numbers come in, then we'll look at it and actually see what the cost is. He's actually thinking more about 5 to 10, not 20, but I didn't know at the time, and I was just told that today. So as it's written, it would have a 20% increase for health insurance. So that's kind of a highlight on the departments, and I'll go through that in more detail as we move forward. Education support is another item on here. The superintendent did send an email on March 3rd, 2025, that requested the maximum contribution for education, which would be $1,730,560. What we did do in this budget is go a little bit less than that, just because there's a few items we still don't have, and that has to do with insurance. I not only don't have the health insurance contribution, but I also don't have the insurance from APRA, which is AMLJIA and APAI, who's combined. I don't have those yet. I don't know what those values are going to be. So at this point, I left a little bit of a buffer there. So we're proposing $1.3 million in local contributions, which is consistent with what was put in the FY26 budget. School scholarships for $35,000. School contribution, which kind of goes towards close-up, at $20,000. And then in-kind services, which includes insurance, any like portion of the maintenance department work that we do, office space, janitor services, and housing, $220,000. So that's all combined together. And the letter from the school district or the email from the school district is included in the packet for your reference. Any questions on that before I move on?
Word here. Keep cool. Word. The budget from the borough, I didn't read the letter, so anyway, budget from the borough at 1.7. Now, that's based on the pupil count for the previous year, and I know that by the looks of it, we're going to have the school attendance looks like it's going to be dropping here. So, is there any way to adjust that, like when the school count happens, or we just got to live with the 1.3?
So every year the state of Alaska provides their minimum contribution and their maximum contribution for the fiscal year. And this year the minimum amount was $656,009. And then the maximum was the $1,730,564. So that's established by the state. To be honest, don't know how the calculation works, but that's what we're told that we can spend. We have to spend the minimum. We can only spend up to the maximum.
Okay, thank you. That was a good answer. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if I may. Yeah, I think that's two kind of quick questions. One is the education budget. You know, the legislature is still in session until, refresh my memory, is it the 21st?
Yes.
Yeah, correct.
in our meeting, our next meeting for a second reading is the 22nd. So perhaps loosely, but we might have some finality on the budget, or, you know, but I don't know if there's going to be a special session yet, or nobody seems to know, perhaps. Superintendent's here, he could probably update us on what he knows. He knows a lot more than I know. Everybody knows more than I know, so that's fine. Anyway, that's timeline for second reading should be okay then, if we have this state budget pass. Is that correct, then, Annie, on the timing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it would be fine. I mean, the last I have, and if Superintendent Franklin's there, if it's okay with the mayor, he could speak to this as well. But the last I heard from our lobbyist was they expect at least $680 in the BSA equivalent money, but it's hard to predict given some of the governor's views. So who knows if he'll veto whatever's presented to him or not, the Dunleavy or not. So I don't know. Mayor Osterbeck, if Superintendent Franklin's able to speak on that.
Superintendent, do you have an update for us?
I do, Mr. Miller, thank you. Governor Dunleavy actually spoke with the superintendents this morning, which is the first time he's done that in 2 years. He indicated very clearly that he would veto the $700 increase to the BSA. He also said that if there was a veto override, he can still choose to not allocate those funds to schools.
Okay.
I don't know what else to tell you.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Sorry.
Sure.
Did he give a reason why?
Yes. There are some provisions that he would like to see added to support funding to charter schools and school enrollment. The Superintendent Association is not opposed to any of those. We've never been in opposition to any of those, but there is some opposition to those provisions in the legislature.
Anything else, Annie?
I don't have any questions, unless anyone else does. Sorry.
Go ahead.
So the state has lowered the schools money by 25%, and our school district asked for full funding. And that's about a $330,000 difference then from what we're contributing to them at this point. My question is, how much does our school district need it, and have we ever fully funded our schools?
So the 25% reduction I was referencing was to the school bond debt reimbursement. So that's a different issue, different topic. That's not contributing to the schools. That's just us getting paid back for our school bond debt payments that we committed to. So what I've seen, and Superintendent Pringle, please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe last year's maximum was a little bit over $1.8 million, and that did decrease. And as I stated, that's determined by the state of Alaska Department of Education on what we can contribute. So I think that has reduced at the state level. And no, we've never done the 100% amount before since I've been here.
So my question kind of is, does the school need more money? You know what I mean? Like, they're cutting teachers, all our schools, and if they actually have a less enrollment, as King Cole's struggling, you know, if some of those kids go somewhere else, will the state give them less money? And my question is, if we fully funded, does the school district need that money, is my question, kind of. If we went to full funding rather than the 1.3.
Annie, would you like the superintendent to answer that?
Yes, please.
Again, through Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. Also, just to clarify something It warmed up earlier. So just so that the local contribution is determined by the state, so this, I think it's relevant to the conversation. And it's determined by, it's not actually has anything to do with enrollment. It's 2.65 mil tax levy on the full and true value of the borough's property. So it has to do with that. So if the number's gone down, it's because the tax value, that you know, the property values of the borough have gone down. And then that's the number's capped. So it's not just like it can go forever. That's capped at 45% of the basic need of the school district. And that is based on enrollment. So anyway, so that's put out by the state every year based on the borough's financials. And that's the local contribution, which again, the state caps at 45% of total basic need. Currently, you know, we have had to cut lots of staff. Fortunately, we have yet to cut much in the way of student programming. We focused on staffing first. And we've consolidated a lot of positions. So I actually think we're in good shape. Like, I'm not going to say those were hardships on individuals, but as a district, I think we're in really good shape with the staffing we currently have. We're going to provide for the kids. Our current budget is a $250,000 deficit for next year. That's with current enrollment projections. So $250,000 deficit. We were sure hoping that, you know, if there had been a $700 increase to the BSA, that would add up to about $500,000 increase in revenue for the district. So it would cover the deficit plus an extra $250,000. So that's what we were hoping for. If that doesn't come through, we can still cover that $250,000 with special revenue funds. We'll just dipping into our savings. You know, we could do that for 2 or 3 years and then we'll be dry there. That's answer all the questions.
Thank you.
Paul? While you're up, while the superintendent is up there, we kind of know what our budget process is. The state and legislature, the governor might pass a budget, and then we'll probably pass our second budget, kind of based on that too, and straighten out whatever we're doing on the education side of it. So does this process fit into your planning process? And are there any hiccups if, say, we meet on 22nd, pass our budget, or if there's a special session, how do you think we are going to be able to deal with that? Or?
Yeah, I don't think our, sorry, through the mayor, it's okay. I don't want to get in the way. Your planning is important, and our timeline doesn't need to be a factor. We have our budget approved already. We have our staffing set. The only difference is if the state comes through with the money, we won't have a deficit. If the state doesn't come through with the money, we'll have a deficit and use our reserve funds to pay for it. So it shouldn't affect your
time. Okay, so we're not putting a crunch on you necessarily by this process.
No, we're all set. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Okay, Aaron.
I wanted to go back one item. You talked about the department's budget, and I'm just highlighting the big items I saw, but there was one item under natural resources increased next year $55,700. What was that for? I didn't kind of find it anywhere explaining what that was for.
Yeah, we'll go through those real quickly towards the end, but that was mainly because it's a Board of Fish year, so we had to increase the budget for that. So that's the large contribution to that increase.
Okay, that's what that represents. So, okay, thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think Tom had a question.
No, I did, Tom? But mine was answered.
It was answered? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Anyone else? Okay, Annie.
Okay, so the next section is Fund 21. This isn't necessarily in the budget, but just something I'd like to highlight, that our Fund 21 outlines the permanent fund earning designations that have been approved by the Assembly. This is included in the ordinance at the bottom, so it shows the appropriated funds for FY17 to FY25 through the March 31st, 2025 date. So that will be changed since we're not done with the fiscal year, similar to what we did last year. So we don't have the data yet. So that is just something to point out. And then this ordinance does appropriate a transfer of the $1,816,333 of our permanent fund earnings to cover a portion of our FY26 general budget deficit. And I'll go into that in a little more detail in a moment, but that is reflected in the Fund 21 amount there. And we'll have a resolution presented at the next meeting for that to be approved. So we have it documented. So if we go to the next one, this is just kind of a good outline of our expected revenues, expenditures, and everything like that. So, I didn't proofread this very well. So it actually should be expected FY26 revenue and expected FY26 expenditures. I'll fix that for the next meeting. But our expected FY26 revenue is the $4,573,205 you see there. Our expected expenditures are $4,781,852. And that's the general fund, Fund 24, Fund 40, and Fund 41. So that's the general fund. What's Fund 24 again, Jackie?
The bond construction fund.
Okay, the bond construction fund. Fund 40 is what? Should I write these down?
The Fund 40 is the permanent fund.
Okay, the permanent fund, and then Fund 41 is the maintenance. So that's our expected expenditures out of those. So if we do our net revenue over expenditures, we're looking at a deficit of $208,647,000. Next, we have our transfer in from our terminal operation. We will be bringing in $42,850 in profit. That's what we're expecting. And then we will have a transfer out for the helicopter in about what we're expecting of $953,703. And then we'll have a transfer out for our bonds of $1,719,125. So our expected FY26 deficit with all of that is a deficit of $2.838 million. So it's a pretty big deficit.
Annie, pause.
Yes.
I'm just a little confused. It looks like there's two items. They're kind of the same thing. On the bottom, it says surplus, which no amount, no surplus deficit. There's no item there. But if you go three lines, it says a deficit of 2.838.
Right.
So yeah, that's the same items, or what? I don't quite follow the logic, I guess, or maybe I'm missing something.
So the assembly is tasked with passing a balanced budget, so it needs to be zeroed out. So what we have here is the expected deficit is the $2.8 million, and then we would be transferring in from the permanent fund earnings from FY25, which I'll explain in a moment, FY26. And then we have to transfer in from our savings to cover the remaining balance to zero our budget out. Because you guys are tasked with passing a balanced budget. We can't have a deficit.
So just to clarify, that last item with no money on it, maybe we shouldn't even be there? Is that because there is no surplus? Or such?
No, I wanted it to show you that the budget is balanced. That's why that's there.
And so
transferring those items in.
So if you put the deficit there, because it says deficit also in parentheses, so would that be the exact same amount that's up a couple lines where it says 2.8?
No. Just be zero. Because it is a zero there, Andy,
right? It's supposed to be zero, but that's how it pops up in the...
It's supposed to be zero. I mean, that's budget is balanced, in other words.
It's balanced.
That's what records. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just confused me. So thank you.
Yeah. So a couple of assumptions in here. This includes the 75% in the school bond debt reimbursement, 100% for harbor bond debt reimbursement, a 2.2% cost of living increase, funding at the $1,355,000, and then there's the in-kind that's sprinkled in elsewhere in the budget. And it also uses $2,440,000 from two different funding sources to cover from, like I said, from the permanent fund earnings from FY25 that we're going to reappropriate, and then the full amount of the permanent fund earnings from FY26, and then we had to dip into our savings to cover the remaining of the deficit. So the, as proposed, this is a balanced budget. Any other questions on that? It's there in that last paragraph too. Could explain it better than I probably just said it.
So the 600, if I may?
Yes.
$624,000.
Mm-hmm.
$398,000 that goes back to the our underage or whatever it is on the budget. Is that correct? Is that what I'm seeing? Or?
So no. So the $624,061 is money that was appropriated last year to help cover our FY25 deficit. We don't have a deficit, so what we're planning is reappropriating that money to help cover this year's deficit.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Got you.
Okay. So there's no other questions. The next page also explains a little further on how the money would be allocated to have a balanced budget. The savings would be a transfer from our AMLET Point 3 account, which has some funds in it that's considered a savings account for us, and that will be just transferred to the checking account to cover our deficit. So if we didn't have all these funds, we would be facing a $2.8 million deficit. But we are lucky enough to have the money this year to cover it so we can present a balanced budget to you.
But Annie, we're not going to have these funds next year, are we?
We'll have some permanent fund earning monies, but it's going to get harder and harder because I have a feeling our deficit's going to get bigger and bigger. So it's going to get harder. All right. So if there's no questions on that, the rest of this is really a lot of tables and spreadsheets and stuff like that, just to show changes. As you can see, in red is reductions. Any green is an increase in that. So these are just some of our assumptions on what we see for the FY26 general fund revenues. We're projecting to have a decrease in the shared fish tax from the state, and we're also thinking we're going to get a decrease. Well, we've already been told what we're receiving for FMA 2 and FMA 3, and those are the values that we've been given by the state, so that's a reduction. And then community assistance, if the Senate budget does pass, well, I take that back, it could go lower than this, but that $254,000 is the amount that the state told us in February 2025 that we would get for FY26. So overall, and then we had to take the LATCF funds because that was a one-time funding source. So we went from a $6,516,000 budget in FY25, which we were projecting, with a decrease of about $1.94 million to hit that $4.5 million. If we go down, those once again outline the assumptions for the budget with the 2.2% COLA and then the changes in the fringe. And then, I mean, I don't want to go through every single one of these in huge detail, but you can see just here in this department itself what I was talking about with the change in the fringe, the health insurance, and the retirement benefits. In the past, everything was lumped in the fringe. It was really hard for us to keep track of. So those have now been broken out into fringe, health insurance, and the retirement benefits. So they're broken out individually so we can track that better. We did try to make cuts everywhere we could, but it's difficult because some of this is what it actually, like the cost of the item, like phones, things like that. That's what it costs. So we can keep scrolling to the assembly. I'll just highlight a few things here. So the assembly salary includes 16 meetings, seven assembly members, two advisory members at $300 per meeting. So that's how that $43,200 was calculated. The fringe switched, as you could see, we took out the health insurance. That has the increase because I don't have those values yet there as well. I did decrease the travel and per diem because this does show that folks, two to three assembly members would attend AML and SWAPSE. And then, of course, if we do any other meetings as a group, it would cover that. But we also do have money that has been allocated in the permanent fund earnings for community travel. So we would go to those funds if we need any additional monies there. So we were able to reduce the assembly budget by about $7,140. In mine, I'm trying to think, the biggest change...
Annie?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
You're moving just a little fast there. I know you don't want to spend a whole lot of time on these. Going back to the assembly, you said you pulled the medical out of there right now because you don't know what the new plan is going to be. Is that correct, under the assembly?
No, the health insurance is still reflected there. It's the third line down. I just don't know what it's going to be, so I increased it. I don't know what that value is going to be.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So on administration, I think the biggest change here is that the engineering line item just completely came out of the administration line item, and we moved it to the maintenance department. Seems like a more appropriate fit for that fund, those funds. So we just moved it to a different department. And it will increase to $75,000 because that's the need that we need to meet for maintenance assistance. And we don't have a maintenance director, so we moved that over there. And then there's some other changes like contract. Contract went down by $20,000, things like that. So, but that biggest change in this department was the engineering department got moved to the maintenance department. The next one is the
question. Yeah, yes. Annie, under administration, I couldn't quite follow the $39,466 increase under salary. You explained it, but I kind of didn't quite follow. Can you run through that real quick?
Yeah, so this covers two positions. This covers myself and also Glenora's position. That's both of us in that department. The increase includes the 2.2% COLA. There's some wiggle room for leave cash outs because the staff can cash out X number of dollars. So that's included there. So it doesn't show a deficit. And I know I cash out leave. So that's in there. And then I put a little additional funds if needed because of the change in with the assistant administrator position. We might need to be doing some things here in the future that I might need some additional funds in that department to cover some salary stuff. So that's in there as well. Did that answer your question, Paul?
Yeah, just a couple items that increased. I'm just going, there's a lot of decreases in the budget, but I'm just kind of pointing out the increases just to clarify. Thank you.
I got a question, Annie. Chris here.
Yes, go ahead.
So I know we haven't got to the assistant administrator, which position is cut. I understand why it's being cut, but that's going to put a lot more responsibilities on you and probably Glenora also. I see that we've increased those salaries, which I agree with. I just was bringing that up there. So,
yeah, from the next one. Yeah, you're correct. Workloads are going to change a little bit, that's for sure. But most of it I'll end up doing so.
On your lap.
Which is fine and doable. So that's a good point though, Chris. So here, just to explain again that due to budgetary constraints, it is proposed to remove this department in FY26. So all of those items will be removed from the budget. And It's just something that was a really, really tough suggestion to make to you guys, but I think it is necessary with a $2.8 million deficit. We have to make changes. It's absolutely necessary. So that is there for you guys. So next is the clerk and planning. I don't really have much to point out other than under management fees, that was an addition. So that's to pay for the annual laser fish fees. That was going to project contingency. I don't want to keep doing that, so I want it to be permanently in the budget, so it's under management fees now. So that's something we have to pay every year. It needs to be accounted for every year, so I wanted it in the budget. So that's been added. And other than that, I don't really have any other comments on this one. So finance, there's a lot of changes here. We really did go through this thoroughly. I think the biggest change is this, the contract line item did decrease by $20,000. So that's something that we really relied on heavily in the past. When we were trying to figure out the finances and stuff like that, we don't need that money or that we don't need that much assistance anymore. So that has been decreased. And then the audit only went up above that $3,000. So we anticipate the audit for FY25 audit, to cost the $100,500. And that's based off the information BDO has provided us. And then lastly, there's the change on the bottom with the management fees and equipment. The equipment, I think, last year was covering the financial software, so we changed that to a management fee, and it's about $10,000 a year for that. So there was a change there. Any questions? All right, so next is the Natural Resources Department, and here's to answer some of Member Grunholt's question earlier. This just had a big change with the Board of Fish meeting that increased by $22,000, $22,500, and that's because it is a Board of Fish year, so we have the money there. If we don't use it, we don't use it, but we wanted it there because it is that cycle for us to have those meetings. So. That's the big change in that department.
Just to clarify that the amounts are at the top of natural resources, that amount, $17,000. That's just part of the increase for the Board of Fish, or it's different than the other amount that we talked about a bit ago.
So the salary increase is, there's two positions in this department. So that's the increase for the COLA under the salary, that's $17,518. And I think it has some leave cash out wiggle room in there too. So there's an increase. And I take that back. Our natural resources director, his 15 year merit increase will happen in FY26. So that's accounted for too. Okay. For the next maintenance, there's changes here as well. Salary decreased. We don't need that much money in there. So we have 15,000. We do have some folks that help us occasionally. Travel and per diem's been removed in its entirety. We don't need that. And then, as I mentioned, the engineering line item got moved to this department in the amount of $75,000. So that got moved over, which is why there's an increase here. But it does make more sense to have it in this department.
One quick question on that $75,000. I was looking for it in this year's budget. Where is it in this year's budget?
This year's budget, it's $50,000, and it's under the administration department.
Where is it again, please?
The administration department.
Oh, up in administration. Okay, you mentioned it earlier, and I just missed where I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
question on the maintenance.
Oh, go ahead.
The majority of the salary is going towards maintenance. The maintenance person that's watching the terminal in Cold Bay.
So that's completely separate. The Cold Bay terminal has its own department.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So there's no changes in the King Cove access project. That's remained the same. And then education also remained the same per our conversation earlier. The only thing that I think changed slightly that's not reflected here is the in-kind services have all increased. But as far as the budget goes, these are the three items that you approve. And there's no change carrying it over. And then we got other. This is all the random things that we have to pay attention to. So there's equipment, rural vehicles, utilities, and that includes all the utilities for the Sandpoint office, the Sandpoint bus barn, the fourplex, the King Cove office. Any utilities that we have to pay fall under that line item. We consolidated those last year. It's been proven to me at least to be really helpful to do that. And then the fuel is the same thing. So those two items, I wasn't sure how I was going to lay out, and Seward, big thank you to him for helping me figure out what we should be expending in FY26. So those are more accurate. Legal, I don't use our attorney as often as I used to, so I'm decreasing that. Chances are we won't even hit the $70,000, but I am decreasing that because we don't use them as often as we used to. And then we've got insurance. As I mentioned earlier, I've not received the information from APRA yet, but we are anticipating that this is the cost for our general liability, property, workers' comp, non-owned aircraft coverage that we have to have, and cyber security, which I don't mention there, but that's included, or cyber liability. That's included here too. So that's what we anticipate it to cost, but I'll have better numbers hopefully in the next month. Bank fees decreased. We got a really good mechanism going on now to keep those fees low. Those used to be around $13,000. I could say we probably don't even hit $3,000, but we just want to have it there as a buffer just in case. So that's been a really good savings for us. And then the other stuff here, EATS, miscellaneous donations have all stayed the same from last year. And then the one item is reducing the KSTP item by 2,500. So it's a 7,500. That's a proposed change. And then the Nelson LaRue revenue share.
Annie?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Chris here. When I was looking over this budget here last week, I noticed a decrease in KSTP. And I know you've been graciously giving them $10,000 a year, which they really appreciate. I was talking with one of their people that manages their finances because of what we heard Trump doing with cutting communications, the radio stations, NPR, APR, cutting that funding totally, and how that would affect KSDP's budget. And they said about 80% of their budget comes from that funding, and I know that, you know, we don't have a whole lot of wiggle room, but I just hate to see us cut the funding to KSDP because they are a very important entity within the borough. I mean, they help broadcast games when people can't make it to the games or the games are in other communities, and I just like to see if there was some way that we could put a little bit more money in there. I would hate to see KSDP just have to go away because they can't secure funding. So that's all I got.
So in response to that, if you want to change that, you'll need to make a motion to do so. Okay.
Just a note to Chris. I was looking up National Public Radio and how much money they give nationwide in their budget to different radio stations. And I thought their contribution to the total budget nationwide, like 10% of every radio station's budget. But I could be
wrong. I'd like to know. I haven't seen a radio station budget in a long time, but I'm just curious. So thank you.
You're right on that, Paul, but you got to realize those other radio stations, they're getting a lot of their funding from putting out advertisements, and it's just like